Hayden Wanoa is the chair of Te Hinga Mahara, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. They've just published a report on lived experiences of compulsory community treatment orders, and it's found people in mental distress and their whānau don't feel heard in clinical review and court processes, leading to enforced treatment. Hayden Wanoa is with us to speak of this matter. Thanks for your time again, Hayden. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Ngā mihi.
Tēnā koe. Ngā mihi. Can you clarify for us first up, please, Hayden, what is a compulsory community treatment order, and give us a bit of history on how they've been used up until now?
Okay, so a compulsory community treatment order is basically somebody who can be living in the community, going about their work, or they could even be a student at university, but they are required to have treatment under compulsion, so essentially against their will. It's been an increasing practice, and we're starting to shine a light on it. It came into effect when the legislation was established back in 1992. But what we've seen over recent decades and in the last 5 years as well, an increasing use of this practice, and the practice flies in the face of best practice. It impinges on an individual's rights, human rights, and it's a breach of te tiriti in terms of the high numbers of Māori that go through the system. So we're advocating for more choices. We're advocating in line with the work that was undertaken with Access and Choice for an increase in the range and options of services available, because many of these situations arise because of the lack of alternatives that are available to whānau and to people. And as you said in your intro, people during this process, whether it's during the clinical process or through the legal process, feel they're not heard, or their preferences and their interest in the kind of care that they want is not necessarily taken into account.
Thank you, Hayden. We know that more Māori are subject to the use of compulsory community treatment orders than other populations. How are our people being marginalised in these processes?
Well, there's a number of ways that the situation causes a challenge for whānau. Some of it is about the way that information is used or not used. Sometimes that whānau have said that they don't have access to information. Sometimes the information, when it's made available, is not necessarily in plain language. They feel compelled under pressure of time. And there isn't really a scope for whānau and other supporters, such as cultural advisors or cultural workers, or kaupapa Māori providers, or even general practitioners, to have a voice in supporting this person in their decision-making. And often the courts don't take into account tikanga approaches. So we think, although we believe that the law needs to change and that we need to move away from the current situation of people having their right to be able to make a decision on their own about their own care, that we actually have a law that supports them in the way that they want to make decisions. But in the meantime, we can undertake some of these other activities and invest more in other ranges of services, like kaupapa Māori services.
Tēnā koe. Just for those of you at home, you know, there's been an 8% increase between 2017 and 2021. These are the last set of data that we're working from. In 2021, almost 7,000 people were under compulsory treatment in our community. So it's a significant number. Hayden Wanoa with us today. What changes would you like to see happen with the courts and in treatment service providers then, Hayden? How can the situation here be improved?
Well, I think we're seeking two main goals here, and one is to have a more inclusive approach to the kind of care that people have, and the second part, of course, to that is by creating a wider range of services. And as I've said on this show before, there's a need for increased investment in kaupapa Māori services. There's been a great initiative under the Access and Choice program. We've seen an increase in a different way of going about commissioning for those services. That kind of approach, and to continue that approach, but particularly focusing on the use of compulsory community treatment orders and reducing them. And we know in our own country that there is a wide variation in practice. So some areas are doing better than others, and there doesn't appear to be any loss of access for whānau in those particular areas where there are lower rates of compulsion. So we're not saying change everything now, but we certainly want to make a strong statement that we can do better and that we should start doing, working towards that change, as well as changing, as I said, the legislation in favour of supported decision making for whānau.
Tēnā koe, Hayden. Look, the commission that you chair is working on multiple fronts. This is but one. Talk with us about some of the priorities, and just because we speak intermittently, for those who perhaps are a little less familiar with your role here, and indeed to heading a mahara, can you just give us an elevator pitch about what you've been tasked to do?
Okay, so look, we were established as a result of the mental health inquiry of 2018. And Hiara Oranga was the report, and there were a number of recommendations that came out of that report, which included moving to a more supported decision-making process and a reduction in the use of compulsory treatment orders. But our particular job of work is to elevate the voices of priority populations, including Māori and other specific peoples. But to do that within the system, so we're an independent Crown entity. So that's one focus. So we publish regular reports on where the system is going, where we want to shine the light on doing things better, but we also want to shine the light on where we're already doing well and to be good examples to be used elsewhere. And then we have another job of work, which involves monitoring the well-being of the nation, the mental state, if you like, of people across Aotearoa. And that's a big job. It's a slower piece of work, but we've released a couple of reports on the state of the mental well-being of people in Aotearoa. And we have some key priority areas, and particularly we've been pushing, this is one, this is the work around the legislation of the Mental Health Act and the repeal of it. But we're also focusing on a lot on rangatahi, a youth, and we're also advocating for some workforce changes and working in different ways. So bringing on more cultural workers, kai awhina, kai arahi and the like, as well as peer workforces, so people that had lived experience, more of that kind of workforce to help change the way that we deliver services to whānau.
Tēnā koe, Hayden. And thank you, because I know that you're always contactable and willing to speak with us about the mahi that you do and the organisation does. So I appreciate you sharing some whakaaro once again here on the program and platform. Tēnā koe, Hayden. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Dale.
Tēnā koe.